thank you all for tuning in and spending your evening or early morning with me here. Sitting in for George Norrie, I am Dave Schrader. I'm the host of Darkness Radio. You can hear me Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to midnight Central, as we explore ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, psychic phenomena, monsters, myths, legends, and every Tuesday is True Crime Tuesday. You can find more information about me and our show at darknessradio.com, where we stream the show live every night from our home office at Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. And when we wrap up at midnight Central Time, stay tuned, because George Norrie and Coast to Coast continues your journey into the strange and beyond. And remember, if you like what you hear on Darkness Radio and Coast to Coast AM, you're going to love what you see on George Norrie's TV series, and you want to be a part of that, beyondbelief.com. Go check it out and educate yourself. You're going to love what you see on there. It is incredibly fast streaming, great content, great detail, and some of the most amazing guests. Beyondbelief.com is what you want to check in for. We are just a few days away from Halloween, so I've tried to bring out the spooky for you tonight and tomorrow. We'll be talking with extreme paranormal survivors from the Amityville Horror, Christopher Lutz, from The Conjuring Story, The Real Conjuring Story, Andrea Perrin, and from The Haunting in Connecticut, Carmen Reed will be here to share insights on their stories, some behind-the-scenes aspects of the tales that you may not know, and we'll help belay some of the misinformation that's been given over the years. We'll also take your calls. If you've had a paranormal experience, or you are continuing to have a paranormal experience and you would like the counsel and help from experiencers who have lived through this, then tomorrow night you can be a part of the show and call in and be able to ask them the questions, the hard questions, and how to get help for yourself. So feel free to be a part of that tomorrow night. Phone lines are open for the remainder of tonight's show. I want to hear your best and creepiest and weirdest and funniest paranormal encounters. Everything and anything. We want to hear your calls. Call in and share with us. And let me mention again real quickly before we go to break, we are in the midst of our Halloween for Hunger Second Harvest Heartland event. We could use your help so that we can feed our neighbors and friends right here in the United States. Second Harvest Heartland and Darkness Radio, Coast to Coast AM, have teamed up for our Halloween for Hunger campaign. Last year, we raised almost $8,000 over a few days span. This year, our goal is $10,000. We're already well over halfway there, $6,000 currently. With your help, the great audience of Coast to Coast AM, I know we can hit $10,000 and beyond. Let me just break it down for you real quickly. For every dollar we deliver, they're able to supply 3 square meals for a person in need. That's the buying power of Second Harvest Heartland. And this is going to go a long way. If we can raise that $10,000, that will supply 30,000 square meals for families, individuals, and people in need right here in the United States. Every dollar of it, every work that they do is all done here in the United States to help out our neighbors and all of our friends around the entire United States. So please help us out if you would. And as simple as $1, if that's all you can spare, $1, that will go a long way, because again, that supplies 3 square meals. You can make the donation by going to darknessradio.com. That's darknessradio.com. Click on the banner for Second Harvest Heartland's Halloween for Hunger. Click on the banner. Go there. Make your donation. You can also email me, dave@darknessradio.com, and I'll send you the link so that it can make it even easier for you. Our goal, $10,000 by November 5th. We'd like to hit it by Halloween. With your help, we can achieve it and beyond. Our goal this year, only $10,000. And again, I know that you guys can help us out on this. Thanks to George Norrie and Lisa Lyon for allowing us to do this and carry it over to share the wealth and the camaraderie and friendship with our fellow patriots here in the United States that need our help and need our assistance. Let's do this together and help. And remember, this is something you can do year-round. Constantly make donations to help them out, because it goes a long way and your dollars really are stretched through Second Harvest Heartland. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll take your calls. Your paranormal encounters are next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host this evening, Dave Schrader, and now it's your turn to shine. Let's open up phone lines, and I'd like to hear your stories. We're going to go east of the Rockies. Joe in Arkansas, welcome to the show.
Good evening.
How are you this evening, Joe?
Oh, doing great. I've got an interesting story for you.
All right, lay it on me.
About 7 years ago, well, it's a little background first. I've always been, when I had any running any kind of fever, I'd hallucinate. But I always realized I was hallucinating. I was seeing people and things that weren't there. Anyway, I was sitting at home, and my mother was in a adjoining bedroom, and she had cancer. And her older sister, whom she was very close to, had passed away like a month before. And I'm sitting on the couch. I had the flu or something. I'd run a little fever. And I also looked over there, and there's Aunt Lucille sitting on the couch. Well, I know she's not there. She passed away. I said, well, Aunt Lucille, what are you doing here? And she looked at me very calmly and said, I'm waiting on your mother. And about 2 weeks later, my mother passed away. Now, was I hallucinating, or had I tuned into something because of my fever, or what?
You know, that's actually, it's something we've heard about near-death experiences. That's something called a shared near-death experience. It's where people that are connected to someone who's getting ready to transition and cross over are also sharing those experiences and become, I mean, you're tuned in. This is your mother. You have this love relationship and connection to this person. And when their health is failing, when they're on that cycle at the end of their lives and you're there and being a part of it, it would only make sense that you would sync up with their energy pattern and see maybe what part of they're seeing and experience that. I know a lot of children that have gone to see relatives in hospice will often see the people standing in the rooms that are there that the people are talking about that none of us can see. But a lot of times the children are witnessing it, and, you know, yeah, we'll come out and say, well, who are all those people in the room? And, you know, it's pretty astounding.
Another time when I was just a small child, which I'm 62 now, I was just a small child, and I was running a fever, and I talked to my great-grandmother, who had died like 20 years before I was born. And I described a lady to my father, and that was his grandmother. So.
Wow, very cool stuff. So you definitely seem to be open and attuned to this, Joe.
I don't know. I have no way of turning it on or off.
Do you like to have that kind of connection? Do you like having that kind of connection, or would you prefer not to be able to see those?
I'm more interested in it. I'm a bit skeptical, but I am more interested.
Very cool. Well, thank you for calling in tonight, Joe. First-time caller, Dawn in Hannibal, Missouri. You're on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi. I'm glad you gave me this opportunity this evening.
Well, thank you very much for listening and being a part of the show. It means a lot. What have you got to share?
Well, all my life I have experienced all kinds of paranormal activity, and my family has always made a point, grandparents and parents, to just kind of squelch that, to push it down. And I learned to cover it up unless there was someone to actually, that I deem appropriate to share it with at times. But, I've had things like objects that have scooted across tables and be thrown across the room, even when my husband's been present in the room so he could see them. I've had the feeling that something went through my body and things like that. And some of those things were kind of wonderful, you know, with sense of grandparents and things like that. But some of them were very scary because no adults wanted to talk to me as a kid. And now I have noticed that I have a granddaughter who's now 5, but she's been speaking with family members that are deceased, and she's calling them by name, but she never met them. And my father and I showed her some pictures, and she was telling us who they were. And then about 8 family members went for a walk on our farm, and we have an archaeological site that we've discovered over the years, and it seems like it's maybe a couple, 3 houses might have been together. So we were looking for a cemetery, and it took us like 4 or 5 years here to discover the cemetery. And we were walking, and my son was holding my granddaughter on top of her shoulders, and it was nearing dusk, and we're kind of jaunting across in front of the area where the cemetery is, but my granddaughter she'd never been to that part of the farm. And at 2 years of age, she lifts up her head and her hands, and she waves furiously, and she's talking out loud, and she's saying, hi friends, and all of us just totally freaked out. And I asked her who she saw, and she said, all of those people over there, they're standing in the woods. And we all just kind of left quickly. But, you know, it's kind of troubling as an adult to try to figure out how to be there for a child or help them, you know, after listening to Zach earlier, you know, do you really want to help anybody? Because, you know, maybe...
Well, sure you do. That's
come down the road.
Liken it to this. That's like saying, you know... well, do I really want to teach kids about sex? Well, sure, you want to educate so that they know what's going on, how to protect themselves, how to be safe with what they're doing. So it's nothing that should be shamed or hidden. You know, there's a fantastic book that I would recommend you pick up and maybe even share with your family for the holidays here. It's called The Gift, and it's written by Echo Bodine. And she is a world-renowned medium and psychic, but she talks about this element of dealing with the abilities and how to work with it and to help it so that the person knows how to make it flourish or control it. You know, when you shame somebody about that type of thing, it's going to make their life even more excruciating and, you know, anguished. Whereas if you give them the opportunity to kind of, once you understand it, once you can come to terms with what's going on, and it doesn't sound like she's being terrified by this. It's not like malevolent spirits are haunting or causing hell for her.
I haven't been too upset about the things that have happened to me. I've only had one or two things that were really bad for me. And there were other people present at the times that it happened. So that has helped me. But, you know, I just wanted to make sure I went about it right because I have no guide.
Well, you know, your guide is your intuition.
Shut up.
Right. Your guide is your intuition, though, Dawn. Just show love and comfort and support. You know, it would be like any kind of child that's creating an ability that has an affinity for music or art. At first, they're not going to color in the lines. They're not going to play every note right. And if we shut them down, that stops them. I mean, we would never think to tell a baby that's crawling and trying to stand up to stop. We would never break that down and keep that child from moving forward. So again, when they have skills and abilities like this, we should treat them the same way. Encourage them to understand it, and especially because this can alienate them and make them frightened or misunderstood. This is something that I think when we shed light and love onto it and educate, and there are, I can guarantee you, you're in Hannibal, Missouri. If you just go on and Google Holistic Center, you will find places there in Hannibal that might surprise you. How close you may be to them, but you can go in and there are people there that will walk you through what to say or how to do it. And then there's books like Growing Up Haunted by Michael Bodine, or I'm sorry, Growing Up Psychic by Michael Bodine. That book is another one that shows, you know, he talks about his life growing up and dealing with the paranormal.
There any books that describe what gifts you have? Would that be in the book, The Gift by Echo?
There is, right. I've read so many of the different books now, they all start to run together. Honestly, I know she's got still, Tim, maybe you could look it up for me on Amazon or the list. I can't remember. It's like still Quiet Voice or something like that. And then The Gift. I think those are two of the biggest books that she's written about that, but it kind of goes over those different abilities. And, you know, there's clairaudience, which allows you to hear. There's clairvoyance, which allows you to see. There's clairgustance, which is the ability to smell the, you know, strange and paranormal. Then you have clairsentience, which is kind of a mixture of all and gives you that ability, but it kind of breaks it down and how those work and how, why they work the way they work. And, you know, a lot of it makes sense with our own cognitive understanding. Still Small Voice is the name of the other book, Still Small Voice and The Gift. But, you know, once you start to harness that and understand it and work through these different gifts, I think, as long as it's not a dirty little secret and you're not shaming, I think the children can very easily decide, you know, this is something I want to explore and this is something I don't, and they may just shut it down. A lot of children have this ability early on, and then it just goes away because they're just not naturally interested in it.
Right, right.
So,
and that, I guess I always was interested because I would find myself getting involved in situations and then after a while saying, you know, I gotta stop for a while. I can't do this. And then it would come back and gradually come in. And like I said, I just want to tell her it's okay. And, you know, she may have to pick and choose like we do politically who we speak to. But
to different sides of the coin as well, you know,
right.
and learn that ability. So Yeah, right. Be patient, be loving, and just be the person that you are. If you've got that gift, you already know how to respond and how to help her. Just be there for her, support, and listen. Sometimes it's about listening. It's not leading the questions. It's about, well, what did you see? How does that make you feel? Would you like to do more of that? You know, and then let them give you the information. But thank you so much for calling in, Dawn, and being a part of the show.
Thank you for the education.
Great. Happy Halloween. Take care of yourself. Wild card, line one. Cece, Long Island, New York, you're on the air.
Salutations. How are you?
Hey, Cece. I'm doing great. What's your story for us this evening?
Talk about Long Island. Have you had any experience with Long Island hauntings at all?
I did. I went out to a home that was very haunted in Long Island, and a family had asked us to come in. I went out actually with Echo Bodine and a few of our other friends, and we were getting a lot of activity, voices.
Or was it a famous one?
No, it was not a famous one. It's off the beaten path, but this family had asked to help, and I had time and friends out there, and we went in to investigate it, and we caught direct EVP, shadow figures moving about. I mean, it was all visual representations. Long Island's an amazing place, so there's so much history there.
You need to come back. There's so much here. I lived in what was left of J.P. Morgan Estate. The Woolworth Estate is supposedly the most haunted in America, and the history here, back, you know, George Washington, the soldiers are still haunting the tunnels. We have Raynham Hall. Charlie Chaplin was out here, and his wife, Tesla, was out here. Montauk Project, Cold Spring Harbor Labs. It's just, it's nonstop energy, and I sense it, and I feel like there's a vortex, especially with Brookhaven Labs, which was before Montauk Labs. It was at Brookhaven. They changed locations. So there's a lot going on with the chemtrails, the energy, but also the ghost hauntings goes back, I think, to the Roaring Twenties, the Gold Coast history and architecture, which is so beautiful here. I think in the '20s they were entertained by occult practices. Like maybe they had these fabulous parties, and but how did they get all their money? What were they doing behind the scenes? You know, I just sensed that, you know, something was going on with these people that is, you know, not coincidence. But my personal experience living at that house, that very historic home, owned by, well, the land. You own the whole island, and I lived in what was left of the head gardener's cottage. The main mansion was torn down after the nuns were the last to live there. If I was living there at the time, I would have been laying in front of the bulldozers. But anyway, so I made
we have about a minute and a half. I just want to give you the heads up.
All right. Well, the contractors were run out, but I stayed there. Didn't want me to leave because I made it beautiful. But I did. I was paralyzed before I left while sleeping, taking a nap, and the bed was shaking. And I couldn't wake up, and it really happened. That was because it didn't want me to leave. And my new house, starting my life over after divorce, is so clean up until recently with all my conspiracy research. I hear things slamming. I don't know if it's good or evil, angels or demons or good or evil aliens. I'm like, shut the F up because, you know, this is my house. And anyway, so that's my story. Thank you for listening, and keep up the good work. But please come to Long Island. There's so much here. Seriously, so much. It's everywhere.
I'd love to. Yeah, I certainly will. And I'm going to look during the break for an article, a very short article from 100 years before the Amityville horror story. I'm going to read this if I can locate it here. You need to hear this, especially if you live out on Long Island. It's a pretty interesting little bit. So I will share that when we come back from the break. And again, if you've missed any part of tonight's show, go become a Coast Insider. Go to coasttocoastam.com. A one-year subscription breaks down to only 15 cents a day, and you'll find all the information right on the website so that you can get that action, and you'll know why we are the best in overnight talk radio. And while you're there, check out the link to ParanormalDate.com, George Norrie's all-stop for one dating site where you can meet people interested in the same topics as you. Ghosts, UFOs, monsters, myths, and legends. Sign up for ParanormalDate.com, now about 54,000 members strong. Stay tuned. We've got more of your calls and more stories to share. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to the show as we talk about hauntings and your own paranormal experiences. Here's an article from an 1887 New York Herald, and the name of the subject on the article is Salubrious Amityville, and it's a very strange little deal. It just runs along the side of the newspaper, and there are different little bits of the article that talk about, you know, Farmer John's garden, this, that, the other, and then there's this. And remember, this article predates the Amityville horror story by almost 100 years. Here's the story. It says under the title, "There's a haunted house. Amityville possesses a haunted house. No one knows why it is so called, but it is known as such, and that settles it. It is a piece of valuable property situated on the banks of a pretty lake half a mile from the beach. It was bought some years ago by a New York party who fitted it up handsomely and prepared it for occupancy in every way, but never occupied it and has ever since let it go to ruin. The vast garden is full of wild weeds. Its portico has become rickety. Its Grecian columns are tumbling down, and its general appearance is weird and forsaken. There is a hermit living in a sandhill across the bay, halfway between Hemlock Beach and the Atlantic Ocean. And then it goes into these other little strange stories. But I just love this. Here's an article from 100 years before the Amityville horror story, and I just love the matter-of-factness of it. There's a haunted house in Amityville. Amityville possesses a haunted house. No one knows why it is so called, but it is known as such, and that settles it. Research. That's one of my favorite jobs. Love doing the research in these kind of stories. We're taking your calls this hour and wrapping up the show. I'll be back again with you tomorrow talking about Amityville with Christopher Lutz, one of the young survivors of the original Amityville horror case. Andrea Perrin will be joining me as well from the original Conjuring case and from Haunting in Connecticut. We will be talking with Carmen Reed. We'll be taking your calls tomorrow night. If you want to share your stories or seek advice from three extreme paranormal survivors, be a part of the show tomorrow as we lead into Halloween. All right, let's go to Wildcard Line 3. Steve in Valley Township, Pennsylvania, welcome to the show.
How you doing? Happy Halloween. Try to make it as fast as possible due to the time.
All right, great, Steve. Thank you very much. I just need you to speak up a little. You're kind of quiet and muffled on me.
Happy Halloween, and you, the staff, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Call. Got a question for you. Also, first of all, Dave, was that experience with the UFOs, was that a TV broadcast also?
Which one? The show I was talking about earlier with Zach and Aaron from Ghost Adventures?
Before you were talking to Zach.
Right. I was on an episode of Ghost Adventures called the Stardust Ranch episode that just aired last season. And
well,
we went to this place in Arizona.
That,
I'm sorry?
I have a recording of that.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, great. All right.
I'm a follower. And I had many sightings, and one in particular of two craft within 800 feet of me. And I'm going to get the Zach now, too. So, I mean,
I'm sorry, Steve. You're cutting out on us really bad. It's almost impossible to hear you. Thank you for calling. Maybe we can try to get you on a better line another time. Sorry about that. Let's go west of the Rockies. Tom in Hawaii. Aloha. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you so much. And aloha and Semper Fi. I'm a retired Marine. I was stationed at the Marine Corps Air Station back in the 80s. If people listening tonight aren't aware, 75 years ago this December will mark the, it'll be the 75th anniversary that the war in the Pacific started. And the air station at Kaneohe Bay was the first area that the Japanese Imperial Navy attacked. And at the air station at the time, there were 36 Catalina PBY flying boats, and it was the Naval Air Station. It was a really isolated area located on Mokapu Point, and Mokapu Point had a real spiritual place in that side of the island. Hundreds of years prior to the base being established, they used the beach out by Pyramid Rock. They is an area where they would bury disfigured babies. So that was one of the points I'd like to make tonight. But for people, a lot of people don't realize is that that area is a battleground where several Navy sailors lost their life. So there's a lot of spirituality that occurs on Mokapu Point. And when I was stationed there in the 80s, I had an experience with a couple of Marines they would always be playing with their Ouija board. And whenever I saw them with their Ouija board, I would kind of tease them and taunt them. Until finally, probably a dozen times after I teased them, they asked me, "Hey, Sergeant, ask the Ouija board a question." So I said, "Okay, I'll ask the Ouija board a question." And I asked it, what was my mother's maiden name, which was Bradley. And they didn't know that. And they spelt out Bradley on that Ouija board.
Wow. And now, were your fingers on it as well, or were they just running the board?
No, they were not. I was just standing there watching what occurred. And, you know, I had been at the base for probably 5 years before that point. And, you know, you stand duty at night on they call it fire watch. You walk checking your Marines guard posts, and you just see these things that you can't explain. And now that I'm living here for years, they call them night marchers. You'll see glowing lights
right
walking, through the camp or off in the hills or off at the, on the peninsula. There was an area where they had some housing or some firing ranges. And actually, it may not be known, is they had taken the 14-inch aft gun mount from the Arizona, and they actually made a battery, a coastal gun battery with that gun, and they fired one 14-inch round through the gun, and it split the foundation of the gun battery through the ground, and they couldn't use it. It was inoperable. A lot of history with Mokapu, but what occurred with me that night was it spooked me in such a way that it left a lasting impression on me for 29 years. And I had I had an incident which occurred 30 years prior, where a friend of mine had been toying with a Ouija board and ended up getting hit by a car and dying. So Ouija boards are nothing to mess with. It's a spooky tale for me. And thank you for letting me share it.
Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for being a part of the show. We'll take a break. We'll continue with your calls. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to the show. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Dave Schrader. All right, let's go back to the calls. We've got Wildcard Line 2, D.C. from the Bronx. You're on the air with Dave Schrader at Coast to Coast. What's going on?
Hey, Dave, how are you? Thank you.
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Dave, I have a Halloween trick for a treat for you and the listeners.
Okay.
Great show. Everyone I see is speaking about spirituality, about feeling, about is it real. You even said that you're ready for a one-on-one encounter with something that, you know, can move you.
Right.
Well, I've got it. People, once and for all, accept it. Spirituality is a science, and it exists. Not only that, but everyone alive today has met an earth angel. I guarantee it, and I can prove it.
Okay.
There are people, I'm sure you remember when you were young in school, that one guy or that one girl who seemed to do everything right. That, you know, one classmate, they weren't trying to show off, but they're the ones that helped everybody else. The teachers liked them. They were always able to get a job. Even when things went wrong, they always somehow manage to rise to the top. Even today, they're the ones that they can be over 50 and they still look, you know, blooming. They still look, how can you say, like that glow. Another thing, this, it's a force, it's an energy. And if you plug into that channel, and you make yourself serene. You can even hear the universe speak to you. You're one of those people, Dave.
Really? Okay. How do you pick up on that?
You're one of those people. I believe this. Between the first generation baby boomers and the second generation baby boomers. Those generations of beings, remember, there was love, emotion, there was commitment. There were a lot of discipline, way of living, that if you follow those instructions, they guaranteed you a certain level of success and guaranteed throughout everything you do. Almost like having favorite hands. Everything you touch turns to gold. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
Then when you detour from those set of rules, of course, yeah, you might get a shortcut and score big, but there's always a price to pay. It's been like this for eons. Unfortunately, today, mass majority is being entertained by illusion. Laser guns, you know, these small tablets, virtual reality, what are they called? The grams, the video grams.
Okay. And you think all that's going on around us?
Holograms,
gotcha.
Yeah, you know, they're being allowed to entertain themselves artificially. And I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing more fascinating. There is nothing more captivating. There is nothing more invigorating than this force. It is so simple. It is free. You don't have to pay for it. It's available to everyone, and it'll never run out. My family, this is how we've maintained since my great-grandparents. And my great-grandfather made a deal with what they called back in those days, a spirit man. He had 9 kids. He was broke, lived in Puerto Rico. Somehow he, I think the story was he binded a spirit so that he can progress, you know, land, animal, etc. And in exchange, he would have to, once a week, sacrifice an animal. But my great-grandfather never did that. Instead, once a week, he would have prayer service and hold, you know, gathering.
So he chose to go the more positive route on that to make that connection, almost like tapping into the secret.
Yeah, and instead of, you know, sacrificing a cow, he said, hell, here, I'd rather pray. I may have done something wrong, but I'll spend my gatherings once a week praying.
That's great. Well, thank you very much for sharing your story with us, DC. Let's go to Wildcard 4. We've got, I'm sorry if I butcher your name, is it Emily Ann in Kingman, Arizona? Hello? All right, let's go to Wildcard 5. Keith in Freeport, Texas, you're on the air.
I'm a paramedic from years ago. There was an ambulance company in Alice, Texas. We were told by the locals not to take Farm to Market 666 at night. The police officers and county officers did not go out there alone. And one of our foolhardy crews drove it one night, and they came back just absolutely scared to death. We had one of the ladies in our group that played, and somehow she ended up with an entity in the bunk room. And all of us got in at one night, and we chased this thing around the bunk room with our flashlights. We'd see the red eyes, we'd shine it, and it would move. And we kept the flashlights going all night so this girl could sleep. A week later, a crew missed their turn and ended up outside of Laredo. They had to do a pickup in a place called Alfurrias, Texas. We took Highway 44 back to Alice, about 10 miles out of Alfurrias. The driver jammed on the brakes, and the paramedic in the seat woke up. They both said they saw a gray-winged object shoot straight into the sky with a medium-sized goat and just keep on flying. But it didn't even beat its wings when it took off. So between Robstown and Memphis, Texas, there's an area that they say is very powerful in the Cupaneta, the old Mexican witches. And then the same thing from Laredo to Falfurrias, that you have to be really careful what you're doing. I believe that because I saw the look on the people's faces when they came back from there. Personal story, my wife passed away. She did not like my housekeeper, to say the least. I told the girl to come into the closet so I could show her where the safe was. She walked out of the bathroom and a hairbrush came out behind her. She was the only one in the bathroom. And on the day of the memorial service for my wife, I took a picture in a totally dark room and the entire right side of the picture was lit up. So I'm thinking the entity of my wife, my daughter, still in the house from time to time. And I know they're watching over the grandkids.
Well, that's great. It's a good comfort to feel that they're still with us. Yeah.
Yeah. They will talk to their mom. They'll talk to grandma. Every once in a while, my youngest grandson would tell me, I displeased grandma because I did this. I said, then why did you do it? He goes, I don't know. I said, not a good excuse, but you need to work on it.
Right. Now, but at least he's honest.
He's a B-plus student and he still sees the family members. So now I know
that's
they're
great.
Around.
Well, that's a sense of comfort and knowing that that's out there. Thank you for calling in, Keith, and sharing your story and being a part of it with us. I'll be back tomorrow night, kids. We're going to have more fun on Coast to Coast AM. Tomorrow night from Amityville, I'm going to speak with Christopher Lutz from the original Conjuring case, Andrea Perrin, and from The Haunting in Connecticut. We'll be talking with Carmen Reed. We'll talk to all three of them, hear about their stories, some ins and outs and different aspects of the stories you may not be familiar with, things that weren't covered in the TV, movie, or book versions of their lives. And we'll open up phone lines so you can share your creepy encounters and ask for advice from these experts that have lived through it. If you have questions, you could be a part of the show tomorrow night and do that. Again, this is we're in our Halloween for Hunger Second Harvest Heartland food drive. It'd be great if you could help us out. We are at about $6,000 of our $10,000 goal just from Darkness Radio. I know that the Coast to Coast audience can help because last year you took us from 4,000 to almost 8,000 in a matter of 2 days. Here's how you can make a donation. Second Harvest Heartland is so powerful with their buying power that every dollar we get raised for this supplies 3 meals for families and individuals in need. Go to darknessradio.com. darknessradio.com. Click on that banner for Second Harvest Heartland Halloween for Hunger campaign. It'll take you to their page. You can make a donation. $1, $5, $10, whatever you're comfortable with. And I know other people say $1 and you never feel that's right. In this case, $1. That's all I'm asking from all of you. $1 will make a difference in somebody's life and supply 3 meals a day for people in need. If you forget, you can always email me, dave@darknessradio.com, and I'll get that information emailed over to you. I want to thank all of my guests this evening, Karen Smurl, Zach Bagans, Aaron Goodwin, all of you great callers, and a special thanks to the guys back in the main office, Donna Walker, Dan Galanti, my engineer and best friend here, Tim Dennis in Minnesota, Chris Boros, Amy Rouse, and of course, Lisa Lyon and George Norrie. Be safe, be kind, love one another, and we'll see you back here tomorrow on the best in overnight talk radio. For George Norrie, I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM.